Hey, today, welcome to another episode of the SharePoint Sideshow. I'm Paul Stubbs. Today we're going to talk about getting started with Windows Phone 7 applications for SharePoint. I've seen a lot of email, a lot of interest in building Phone 7 applications for SharePoint. So today what I want to do is show you how to get started, how to set up your developer environment, and some tricks of the trade to get going and get authenticated to SharePoint. So let's get started. The first thing we think about when we think about developing applications for SharePoint is we have this concept of the Office Hub. The Office Hub allows us to sync documents and edit the documents and so on and so forth. But this is not what we're talking about today. What we really want to talk about is building applications with Silverlight on the phone. And these native applications using Silverlight allow you to access lots of information in SharePoint, call services in SharePoint, access local SharePoint data, and generally pull together these very custom applications using SharePoint as the back end. Now, the thing that's difficult, or things that's hard to kind of get going, is how do you set up your developer machine? Now, what we can see here in this diagram, this is if, for example, you had a single machine, and the way to build this machine is to run the easy setup script that we released earlier. And the easy setup script would run on a Windows 7 machine, a 64-bit machine, install SharePoint, install all of your phone tools, install Visual Studio, and you'll be ready to go. So in this case, we can see we have a single machine, Windows 7, with SharePoint on the same machine. This is everything locally. This would be a either a boot to VHD scenario, or this would be something that you would be able to install natively right on the hardware in a separate partition or as your main developer environment. Now, the advantages of this, it gives you the best performance. You have access to everything on your machine and access to all of your hardware. The downside to this is that it is on Windows 7, and so you will eventually have to migrate to Server 2008 at some point when you go to production. But for a development environment, this works great, and it's an interesting way to go. Now, another scenario is if you have multiple machines set up and you have a couple of machines running. Let's say you're consuming the information work of VHD that we distributed earlier. In this case, what you would have is you'd have a Windows 7 developer machine. On that developer machine, you would have SharePoint installed and the phone tools installed on that machine. Now, on your server machine, now this could be a dedicated SharePoint server, or in this case, it's a Windows Server 2008 R2 image running Hyper-V and running the Information Worker VHD, which contains SharePoint and everything you need to develop SharePoint applications on that. Now, in this configuration, what I like to do is on the SharePoint machine, generally set up two network cards. And these would be virtual network cards because we're dealing with Hyper-V. So the first one is an internal switch at the bottom you see. That would be 192.168. 150, and then we'll give it an IP range of .10 for the switch and .1 for the actual NIC. Now, the nice thing about this is that it gives you a fixed IP that you can remote desktop into that machine, into that SharePoint image, and just do your work. But you still need a way for your external machine, which is your Windows 7 machine running Visual Studio and the phone tools, to connect to SharePoint. And so for that, you would set up an external switch that would then allow you to connect into that SharePoint VHD using that external switch. And so in this case, to keep things simple, I just give the Windows 7 machine a fixed IP of .30 for the end, .20 for the switch on the server, and then .5 for the SharePoint VHD. Using simple numbers like this makes it easy to keep track of your IPs and to troubleshoot any network connectivity issues that you may have setting this up and configuring this. Now, another thing to consider is that the way you develop phone applications is that you think about the phone is going to be external to your firewall in most cases. Many times you either won't have access to the Wi-Fi that the SharePoint site is on, or you may not have permissions to it, or whatever the case may be. So in generally the pattern is the phone is going to be external, just like every other device on the internet, and you need a way to get back into your SharePoint site so that you can connect to it. And the way that SharePoint supports this is through UAG, or the Unified Access Gateway. And so UAG acts as a proxy server to tunnel back into your through your firewall to connect to your SharePoint site. And you can find more details on that out at microsoft.com/forefront. There's lots of information. We also produced a white paper on how to set this up. It's a little bit complicated, so the white paper walks you through step by step on how to set this up. Here, for example, is what UAG looks like and how you configure basically the mapping from an external IP address to some internal system, in this case SharePoint. And once you have that mapping set up, it allows you to flow the communications from some device on the internet, your phone, to a device internal, which is SharePoint. Another thing that UAG provides for us, which is very important for phone development, is that one of the limitations of doing phone development on SharePoint, and one of the things that probably catches the most people, is that the phone doesn't support NTLM credentials. And so you need another way to log into your SharePoint site, and typically that includes forms or forms-based authentication. So once you set up forms-based authentication on your site, your phone can connect to that, and we'll look at this later in this talk. But UAG also can provide a form for us. So in this case, you can see that if I turn on UAG, UAG will pop a form that the user can log into, or in our case, our phone programmatically can log into, and then UAG will translate those credentials to NTLM on the back end. And so this is really good because now you don't have to convert your SharePoint sites to FBA in order to support phone. You simply turn on UAG and now your phone can access UAG and then access your SharePoint sites via UAG. So it becomes very important in these scenarios. So back to our machine setups here. So let's take this another step further. So what would it look like if we have UAG configured on our machine? So in this case, I have a Windows Server R2 machine. I have the SharePoint VHD running, so the information worker VHD. And now I've also created another VHD, which includes just UAG. So in this single server, I'm running UAG and SharePoint VHD. And then I'm running also the Windows 7 phone tools in a separate machine. So it's very similar to the last configuration we had, other than the fact that UAG is in the middle. So when we look at the flow of this, we can see that if we look through the flow, we start here, then our machine connects to 120, it comes over to UAG, UAG translates that form, translates the credentials from forms-based to NTLM, for example, through this right here on the UAG server. Then UAG will then transfer the credentials over to our SharePoint site, and we have connectivity. So you can see how the information flows from .20 to 10 to 5 to 5 on the different network subnet, back to 10 and 1 on the other subnet. So this is the way that we can have a really good developer experience. We can build our phone applications that really simulate or mimic our real-world enterprise example that we'll be doing. Now the next one is, what if we want to put all of this on a single machine? Well, the reason we've been using two machines in these examples that I've been showing you so far is that when you run Hyper-V, Hyper-V uses hypervisor technology to emulate an environment, right? But coincidentally, the phone tools, the phone emulator, uses that same technology. And so what happens is that if you're running Hyper-V and you turn the emulator on the host machine, that your system will crash, right? So that's not the experience we need. So we have to separate those into another machine, which is why you saw we had a Windows 7 machine and we had a SharePoint Hyper-V machine on two separate machines. But if you want to, or if you only have a single machine, one workaround is that you can develop your phone tools on the host, but when you go to deploy, when you go to hit F5, make sure you turn the switch from emulator to device and actually plug in a physical phone device into your machine, and then you can deploy to the phone device and debug and do everything you normally will, except the emulator for the phone won't be running, so you won't have any issues. So this is a really good example. If you have a physical phone device, this becomes a really good way to do it. Now the last way, which is I think the recommended way, or the way that I think you should set it up if you have the machine capabilities, is to have everything on a single developer machine, which is what I'm running here today and what I'll show you. Now this is interesting because here I can run UAG, I can run the SharePoint VHD, and now I can also install the phone tools on a VHD that will also run in Hyper-V. So the problem is that if the emulator is running on the host, that crashes. But if the emulator is running inside a VHD that is hosted by Hyper-V, that works. And the only real trick to this is that the VHD that the emulator is running on has to be a Windows 7 x86 instance. Any other version doesn't work, 64-bit, server, none of that works. If as long as you have a Windows 7 x86 VHD, you can install the emulator, the phone tools, run that in Hyper-V, and that all works. You still have the option of plugging in a device and using that as well if you want to do that scenario. But in general, this scenario works great. The only downside to this scenario is you need a lot of memory. So for example, 16 gigabytes of memory is probably what you'll need on your developer machine to get this running in order to host 3 VHDs at the same time. But other than that, this works really great, and this is a great way to develop phone applications. So we talked briefly about forms-based authentication being required, and in order to use forms-based authentication natively within SharePoint, you need to turn on claims mode, which I would argue you should be running anyway, so your site should be on claims mode anyway. And then it's just another matter of turning on FBA, setting up the claim provider, whether that's LDAP or whether that's SQL Server or whatever claim provider you want to have. And then you edit a couple config files and you now have forms. Now, the other thing about forms is the way that forms authenticates. Now in SharePoint, what happens is you request the page, you get redirected because you don't have permissions, you get prompted for permissions to enter your credentials. Once you enter those credentials, you get a response with a cookie, the federated auth cookie. That federated auth cookie is then passed to the SharePoint site for every instance from that point forward, and that's how you get authenticated, right? So as a phone developer, we need to sort of mimic this behavior. We need to be able to call the SharePoint authentication mechanism, get back the federated auth cookie, and then pass that along each call. Now the problem we have is that the federated auth cookie is hidden, so to speak. It's marked as HTTP only, which means that we can't see that cookie programmatically from our application. So what we need to do is we need to actually use this thing called the cookie container. The cookie container is a class in the .NET framework, and we just create a new instance of the cookie container. The cookie container is the programmatic equivalent of your browser's cookie cache that you'd have in your browser. This is how we do that programmatically. So the thing is we create a cookie container. It's empty in this case. We attach it to our request to our authentication service, whether that's UAG doing the authentication or whether it's SharePoint doing the authentication. Once we call the authentication service and log in with our credentials, the cookie container is populated with the hidden credentials that we need. Now, programmatically in the debugger and so forth, we can't see those credentials, so you just have to trust that they're there and just pass that cookie container on, you know, with the same reference on to the next call. And what we normally do is we make the cookie container, in this case, be a static property of the application, and so it's always available and populated, and we just pass that cookie container along. And once you pass the cookie container along, SharePoint will authenticate you, and you'll be able to call web services, call OData, and do all of your stuff to build your applications. So let's take a look at a quick example of what this looks like to show you how I have this set up. So in this case, I have a Windows Server machine. I'm running. I'm running 2010 9A, which is the information worker VHD. I'm running a Windows Phone 7 x86 version of the VHD, and I have UAG running as well so that I can do the UAG simulation. Now, what I have here is first let's take a look at my SharePoint site. So here's my SharePoint site that's running. This is just the standard information worker VHD that you can download yourself. I've created a new site called phone.contoso.com. Just a basic empty team site, has one list in it that we'll see. But I've turned on FBA onto this site. So forms-based authentication has been turned on. I'm in dual mode, so it basically says, hey, do you want to log in using your Windows credentials, NTLM, or do you want to log in using forms authentication? So I can say forms authentication, then I can log in, put in Dan Jump, sign in. Now the browser is calling the authentication service. It's going to redirect with the correct credentials, and we're logged in as Dan Jump. So that process that you just saw is the exact process that your application will go through programmatically to log into the site. And so on the site, you can see we have a list here called maintenance requests. Maintenance requests has a couple items: fix the leaking boiler, grease the metal, replace the back door, etc. Now, if we switch over to our phone VHD, so here I have the phone VHD running. This is a Windows 7 machine running in the Hyper-V emulator. I can go over and see I have a couple of applications installed already. So here's one for doing the Windows Phone 7 cloud parts. So you can see that once the application loads, we have all of our maintenance tasks loaded here from our SharePoint list. We can see we have fixed the leaking boiler, we have greased the metal press, and so on and so forth. And we can, as we drill down into these applications as well, what we can see that this application is not only reaching out to SharePoint, it also reaches out to the cloud and uses Azure data, Azure SQL data, it uses Azure services, it uses other resources besides SharePoint to pull together a composite application that has not only cloud data but SharePoint data together in a single application. So let's go back and take a look at another example. In this case, what we can see is a little bit fancier example, a little bit filled out, some more information to give you a better feel from how that works. This is an example that uses UAG to access the SharePoint tasks. So in this case, I'll log into the SharePoint site here. And this goes through UAG to connect to UAG form. It then translates those credentials to a standard SharePoint list that's set up with whatever credentials you have set up. And we pull in all of our task information from a standard SharePoint task list. But in this case, we have a rich view on those tasks. We can see tasks that are important. We can see tasks that are active. We can click on a task and drill down into that task information. We can do things such as edit the task, delete the task, filter on tasks. So it really gives us an idea of what kind of applications you can build on top of SharePoint with Windows Phone to really bring the productivity to your mobile developers as well. So with that, what I think we've seen is we've seen like how to get started, what are some of the ways you can build your developer environment, what are some of the issues around forms-based authentication. And for more information, visit my blog or visit the SharePoint Sideshow. In the speaker notes, I'll put links to all of the things that I've showed you and talked about today. And with that, thank you, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of the SharePoint Sideshow.